of consciousness and positive feelings and positive attitudes, it's actually possible to heal the body much more quickly than it would be otherwise. And so, with spirituality, with an understanding of what the soul is and how soul and body are functioning together at this moment, it's possible to face death, it's possible to face illness with equanimity, with courage. One doesn't invite these things, but of course they're part of natural life, and so if they come, then learn. I have to learn to face them with a smile, so let me learn to do this, rather than face them with anger and fear and bitterness. Whatever it is that happens in my life, if I can face it with a smile, I'll be able to learn from that situation and move forward. When a debt has to be paid, let me do that with a smile. It has to be paid in one form or another anyway, so let it be with a smile rather than with tears. Death and illness are two factors. But there are several other things that of course cause a lot of fear in our hearts. We are afraid of the future, and yes, the future seems to be a very traumatic one. We don't know what the future holds. There are so many things that keep changing in today's world. There are no guarantees, no certainties about the future anymore. The power of spirituality teaches me that if today I can make good use of every moment at the present time, if I use my thoughts, my words, and my actions in a positive direction, then I'm sowing good seeds for the future, and the fruits that I'm going to receive in the future are going to be very sweet ones. If at the present time my time is being wasted, my energy is being spent in negative directions, then of course, yes, there's a fear for the future. I don't know what the results of all this is going to be. And then yes, definitely I'm very anxious and afraid. But if I can focus on using all my resources, and the most valuable of my resources are my thoughts and my time. So using my thoughts, my breath, my words, even the finances that I have in a positive, constructive way, I know that my future is assured. It's been said that the past is a mystery and the future is also a question. The past is also history and the future is definitely mystery, but at the present time, the present is a gift. It's a present. And so let me learn to use it in the best way possible, and then I need have no fear for the future. But apart from the mysteries and the histories of the past, of course, our own conscience also remembers the things of the past that shouldn't have been done. And so there's, within our maybe unconscious or subconscious mind, that subtle fear of what the repercussions of all of that are going to be. My experience tells me that no matter what may have happened in the past, if today there's humility, realization, and I'm able to ask God for forgiveness, God is able to give me forgiveness. God is able to give me the benefit of His love and compassion, and on the basis of that, I know that if today I'm ready to transform and reform, I can finish the past, I can set the things of the past behind me, and I can move forward with courage, with a new vision of the future. I don't need to be afraid of either the future or the past. Am I afraid of other people? Yes, probably. There are inferiority complexes, there are superiority complexes, there are many weaknesses that I have, and so I'm afraid of other people because of my own weaknesses and insecurities, through my connection with God, through the power of meditation, the power of yoga, I'm able to strengthen myself so that with the power of my own inner strength, I can look every human being in the eye and not be afraid. In fact, my own vibrations invite difficulties. And if I'm facing life and the future and every human being with dignity and respect, and I'm sharing respect with others, I don't need to be afraid at all. If I'm sending out the message of insecurity and fear, yes, there will be difficulties that will come in front of me. Problems will come to confront me. People will take advantage of that. But if I'm strong and stable and unafraid, because I have the confidence of knowing who I am and the confidence of my relationship with God, I know that nothing can touch me and I don't need to be afraid of any human being whatsoever. God's protection will always be with me. These three simple factors of knowing the self, of knowing God, understanding the philosophy of action and reaction, the law of karma, I can make sure that I live a life free from fear. Let's experiment with some of these ideas so that there's actually the experience of the soul and that relationship with God. Sitting comfortably so that the body can be still, so that the mind can be free from physical distractions. Let your eyes stay open gently and look towards the center of the forehead. This is the location of that eternal spark of light. I will speak out my own thoughts as I meditate, and I invite you to follow these ideas. Sitting quietly, I ask myself the question, who am I? Am I this physical body? Am I the hands, the feet, the arms, the legs? Am I any part of this physical body? And I know that I am not. Who am I? I am the being within. I am a spark of light. I am the conscient living being. I am the eternal being, the soul. I live in this physical body, but I am not this body. And in this awareness of I, the spiritual being, I go inside and journeying inwards, I can feel I, the point of light, radiating light. I am a being of peace. In this awareness of my own eternity, I connect with the Supreme, the Divine, the Being of infinite love, compassion, and truth. My thoughts connect with the Divine, and I can feel God's light, God's love, God's truth surround me. I had forgotten myself, and I'd forgotten the Supreme. And now, knowing myself, becoming aware of the Supreme, I connect. And through this connection, this bond of love, all of God's treasures are available. I am safe, protected, secure. And in this experience, all the fears that I have dissolve. Power of understanding and the spiritual power through this connection with the Divine liberate me from fear. I keep this connection and I come back to the awareness of my role on the world stage, soul playing its role through the body, but yet I keep this awareness of God's protection with me. I carry the experience of God's love and light with me. Om Shanti. Shanti. A greeting of peace to my sisters and my brothers. We're looking at how spirituality can help us in our day-to-day life. And now, I'd like to look at the subject of how to conquer anger. Everyone recognizes that it's wrong to have anger, or perhaps not everyone. Sometimes I've heard it felt that it's justified in certain situations, but yet we also see how anger causes so much sorrow, both within the self as well as in everyone else around us. And at some point in our life, perhaps we've been exposed to anger, or we ourselves have felt angry, and we've appreciated the fact that really it's something that's very negative that has to be transformed. And in the path of spirituality, definitely we consider anger to be a weakness that isn't one of the original qualities of the soul, and so it is possible to go beyond it. In cases where people say that anger can be justified, let me just explain a little bit about that. If there's something which is wrong in a situation, if I simply get angry about it, I'm not able to think clearly enough to be able to deal with it and transform it in any way. However, if something is wrong, and I can step back a little, and yes, I can be passionate about it, I can be filled with great power and motivation to try and change it, but if I look at the situation with peace and clarity, then I'm going to be able to transform it. Mahatma Gandhi's example is an interesting one. Yes, he could see that there was something very wrong within the whole system, and it was important that the system should be sorted out and transformed. But if he had simply got angry, the anger would have led to violence, and the aggression would definitely have brought about the transformation that did happen. Or even in recent times, if we look at President Mandela, and we see how in the situation he was in, when he came out of prison, if he'd just been angry against the system of apartheid, I don't think he would have been able to bring about the bloodless revolution that did happen and the transformation that took place that's led to independence there now. And so it's possible to know that a situation is wrong and to be able to have strength and power and then to be able to work towards making that situation right again, to bring about justice, and yet not do it with anger. In these two cases, one can see that, yes, there is something very wrong with the system, but if there had just been the force of anger, then we wouldn't have the results that were achieved in both cases. And so whatever situation I find myself in, anger, in fact, can never ever be justified. If I think about what's natural for the soul, then I know that what is natural is also healthy. If I look at it in terms of the physical body, then again I know that when the body is in a state of health and nature is moving in the way it should, I feel strong and comfortable, then everything within the system is in order. And yet, if the system goes out of order and there's something unnatural happening within the system, it's usually then a factor which is of ill health. And so I have to find out what it is and put it right. The same principle applies in terms of the soul. When the soul is in a state of good health, all the natural, original qualities of the soul emerge. If there's something which is unnatural, then that's an indication of ill health, and there's going to be some type of pain or suffering. The original qualities of the soul are peace, purity, love, truth, and joy. These are the intrinsic, natural qualities of every human being. If I move away from peace and love, and I get into a state of anger, it isn't natural. It's in fact extremely unhealthy, and so it causes pain to me and pain to others around me also. Through the biofeedback experiments that have been happening in recent times, one can see the impact of mind on the body, and also body on mind, of course. But in this case, let's look at what happens if the mind is peaceful. What's the impact on the body? When my mind is calm and steady and stable, then the body tends to stay in a state of harmony and order. And when the mind is in a state of upheaval, agitation, or even anger, then the impact of the body is a state of disorder, a state which is unnatural, a state which is unhealthy, and in fact, the upheaval of mind causes so much upheaval within the body that even if there's 1 minute of anger in the mind, the body tends to take at least 30 minutes before it tends to come back into a state of balance and harmony. If I have 5 minutes of anger, then it's not just a question of five times more in the impact in terms of the body, but in fact it leaves a very long imprint and it takes a long time for the body to settle down again. Think about the effect of anger in terms of the atmosphere also. I walk into a room and I can feel peaceful vibrations. I feel comfortable there. I walk into a room and I can feel that the vibrations are of aggression. I definitely don't feel comfortable there. I want to leave as soon as I can. Anger is impacting my mind. Anger is impacting my body. Anger is impacting the atmosphere around me. Anger is also definitely impacting the people around me. I think if there's been an episode of anger, other people don't forget it for at least 6 months. It creates such a deep impression in their minds and they'll say, stay away from her, she's an angry person. And so it's certainly not the way to be able to win friends and create an atmosphere of love, harmony and cooperation. I can see that anger causes great disturbance, is unnatural, unhealthy, and yet how can I deal with it? Well, first step is to actually acknowledge that it isn't right and I don't want it. But beyond that, what else do I need to do? When one looks at a pattern or a habit, one can see the cycle that's connected with patterns. The thought comes in the mind, it's expressed in action, it leaves an imprint within, and that imprint is the stimulus for the next thought. When this pattern is working in a positive direction, well, that's wonderful. But so often, we develop negative patterns, and at that point, in fact, we can call them the addiction pattern. We tend to use the word addiction in the context of things happening out there. Drugs, chemicals, alcohol, cigarettes. We tend to use the word addiction in the context of substances. But that cycle of addiction, whether it's external substances or whether it's the inner negative traits within my own being, the pattern is the same. And so if today I give way to anger, I've created that imprint. Tomorrow, probably, I give way to anger yet again. And that imprint will have been underlined and strengthened. The next time, my fuse will be even shorter. And it will take even less to aggravate me and cause that tendency of anger to surface. And so this is what we see in life. An angry person doesn't suddenly become calm, but day by day they get more and more angry. And so they alienate themselves from others further and further. Just as any substance addiction grows stronger, in the same way, every time I give way to anger, that addiction within me becomes stronger and stronger. How does one break this pattern, this addiction cycle? Well, between the thought and the action, there's actually a very important mechanism that human beings have. And we've tended not to use this, and so it's atrophied. And we've forgotten that it's actually even there. There's a filter. In Hindi we call this buddhi, and in English the closest we can get to the translation is intellect or conscience. Every time a thought comes, it's actually supposed to pass through this filter. and only then be allowed through into action. Well, this filter has either got clogged up, or it's become so dirty that it's ineffective. It's been out of use for so long that it's no longer functional. Time for myself, time for reflection, time for silence enables me to start using this filter once more. If every few hours I give myself that opportunity to just reflect on the events that have occurred in the last little while, ideally, even once every hour, let me be able to stop for even just a minute or 2 minutes and just reflect on whatever it is that's happened. And if I begin to do this, I'll be able to identify situations in which I didn't use that filter. And having identified that, I'll also be able to see that in fact it would have been much better for me and for others if I had used that filter. And so when there's that understanding, and then the motivation that I don't want this addiction to cause sorrow either to myself or to others anymore, I decide I'm going to cleanse this filter of mine. I'm going to make it so powerful that even when thoughts arise, I'm going to make sure that that clarity and the power of willpower is so strong that I don't allow that thought to come through either in words or in actions. It's not the total answer, but at least it's one of the first steps. Even if the thought of anger comes into my mind, let me be able to have such a powerful break that I don't express it in words. I don't allow it to come through in any action. And the imprint that I'm carrying within my inner being, that samskar, will gradually begin to loosen its grip on me. And of course the other factor is that if I've actually allowed thoughts to come through into words, the additional karma is that I've been suffering. And so at some point, probably sooner rather than later, it's going to come back to me again in return. Rather than suppressing, what I'm doing is dealing with it a step at a time. Sometimes people say that this is simply suppression, but no, I don't think so. I think it's important to take one step at a time and I'll be able to reach my destination calmly, coolly, patiently. Wonderful if I could deal with it instantly and eliminate that samskar, but if I can't, and most likely, probably I can't, at least to put a break to the karma that I'm creating, the pain that I'm causing, and to not allow anything through into action. Next step, I don't actually want even those thoughts to come. And I'm seeing the situation, and I'm still finding that those thoughts are coming in my mind. And of course, when that happens, my face changes. Even though I'm not saying anything, it's visible in my eyes, it's visible through my body language, the vibrations I'm emitting are picked up by others. So obviously there's many repercussions that are happening even just simply through the mental state of violence or anger. But now let me approach it from a different direction. Having put a break to the external side, now let me deal with the inner side. And on the inner level, in fact, anger is coming as a secondary factor. Anger is not a primary condition. Anger is usually triggered because of a lack of something that's within the self. And then, things happen and anger comes. For example, if there's an inner state of contentment, then things will happen and they need not be according to my choice. But then I have the capacity to be able to flow with the events and move with the situation with lightness and not let myself be bothered about it. And yet there are other times when there's a feeling of discontent and frustration within the soul. And in those conditions, little things will cause irritability, or little things will be exploded in such a way that they're really magnified out of all proportion. The other person involved in the situation will be taken aback and say, but what did I say? What did I do? It certainly didn't warrant such a reaction at all. To me, it's an indication that the state of the soul is in a state of emptiness. And when there's an emptiness, then to fill the vacuum, all sorts of things come in, including negative things, because we're exposed to negativity all around us. And so the tendency is to pick up negativity. If I can ensure that I don't allow myself to either become empty or to feel this internal lack or have this vacuum build up inside, if I can keep myself full and fulfilled within, then that's a very effective way of actually being able to deal with anger on a long-term basis, to the extent that I'm actually changing the imprint so that even the quality of thoughts that are arising are thoughts of peace, of purity, of love, without any aggression or violence. Then in that case, it's no longer a question of just simply disciplining my mind or controlling myself, but it's more than that. There's an actual deep transformation that has occurred. Meditation, my relationship with God, the experience of the self in yoga, in union with God, is the most effective way, perhaps even I would say the only way, to be able to actually fill the self. And if I can do this on a daily basis, connect my mind with the ocean of peace, the ocean of love, I have access to an inexhaustible supply, a treasure store that's never going to run dry, and I'm able to receive from the ocean all the qualities that I need. The influence of God's love and peace is also such that it awakens and emerges those qualities from within my own inner being. And so both things are at work. The influence from God, but also the filling of the soul from the source. And in that case, if I can fill myself with these positive attributes and emerge my own original, natural qualities, these then begin to work in my life. And I find that I don't react in situations. I find that I don't get angry or upset. And if I can maintain peace in situations in which others are upset or angry, it means I'll know exactly what needs to happen, what it is I need to do. I'll be able to influence the circumstances around me to also become peaceful and non-violent. If one person can be an example of peace, then that has a pacifying impact on everyone else around them. I know that in a situation in which I was faced with an angry mob, a mob that was trying to actually hurt another person who anyway was innocent, I know that the intervention of peace at that moment was able to calm a whole mob. It was a situation in which the mob was actually ready to lynch this person, but peace prevailed even in that moment, all it took was a moment that was needed to restore peace, and the atmosphere was transformed. And so, if I can be peaceful, I can make a positive contribution to things around me. Anger is not my original quality. Anger has come about because I forgot myself. When I remember myself and I restore the loving relationship with the Supreme, not only do I experience God's love, but I'm able to experience love within myself, and I can be an instrument to share that love and peace with others around me. Anger becomes a thing of the past. Sometimes we've said that